We're holding here in Siman Reish Ayin Gimel, Reish Ayin Gimel, Sif Hey. Kotzva Gaonim. Tahada in Kiddush Allah Bakom Suda, if you'll daver muat, Oshasa Kos Yayin Shechayim Allah Racha, you'll say Kiddush Bakom Suda. Meaning, we have to have a Suda, then we have to wash. So there's one opinion, you have to wash. You have to, you can't just make Kiddush Shabbos morning on Rugalach. You have to wash. That is the gra passing that way, but that's not to accept the psak. The gaon, we probably the gaonim that the suda can be a davar muat, could be drinking some wine. And then you can have a suda later without making kiddush. It's not enough to have peros. You'd have to have revias of wine. So if you heard Kiddush, all you drink is one revius. If you made Kiddush, the post can say maybe the malugmav that you drink doesn't count, because that's not the suda, that's the Kiddush. So you drink a malugmav, and then you drink a revius. So like a cup and a half, let's say. Most people just make Kiddush on mazonos. There are people who are sensitive to gluten, or on Pesach, I told this last time, right? So what do you do in that case? So having some wine would be equivalent. Peiros says it's not, but there is the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Shulta Gibur that some hold Peiros also work. Shasat Chag, certainly Peiros that are zon, like tamarim, they're mazin. So some people are making like that. But if you have to make, let's make them. Ulfizeh says the Rama Hayabutul Labol Tzant Lishas Bekoshal Mila V'Shabbes V'Shachris Imshosim Kishiur V'Nagalitim Latinok. This is a big question. You think of Bris and Shabbos. So if you make Kiddush right away, it's not a problem. At the end of the davening, you'll make the bris, and then you'll go to the Kiddush. But sometimes they're not going to have a Kiddush. They're going to have a Kiddush in a different place. So how do they drink the cup of wine? They're eating davening shakras, they have a chiv Kiddush. So what they usually do is they bring some azotos for the person. But strictly speaking, it would be sufficient to just drink a revius of wine. That would be considered the suda. And there's a question, is grape juice, same question as we spoke about last time, grape juice, is that the equivalent? Maybe a suda has to be like a chash of a mashke, and grape juice isn't really mazin, it's just sweet, it's not satiating. I don't know exactly what mazin means, but in the minhag olam, it's assumed that even a revius of grape juice is sufficient. So a person, let's say on Pesach, like Kiddush, or a person is, sensitive to gluten, so what they could do is just drink a revius of grape juice. To be Yosef Kiddush Umakom Suda. Questions, comments? I should mention that the Sharasim points out that since this is the question of debate, we only rely on this by day. Usually by night, anyway, people have a Suda. Nobody comes home and makes Kiddush and has Rogalach at night. It doesn't really, you know, it could, but that's the question, are you allowed to do that? Or sometimes Simchas Torah. I was once at a place, Simchas Torah, they got was dancing, Leibedik, they got hungry. So they wanted to make Kiddush and have Mazonos at night. Is that Mutter? So from the Mishnah Berurah, he seems like he doesn't recommend doing that, because since Kiddush at night is more Chamor, and it's not clear if this is really a Suda, this is just Mazonos, it's not really washing. So therefore, he recommends not doing it. If you're stuck, they're probably poskim will tell you it's mutter. We mentioned in the past that the person who makes Kiddush in Shul, if there are no kids to drink, is supposed to drink the cup, and that counts. So we assume that even at night, the Makom Suda could be accomplished through drinking wine. Usually we don't rely on this at night. Okay. Fine. So even though we say Ein Kiddush Ela Makom Suda, the Suda can be in a different place if the person listening to the Kiddush is a different place. I have a, you know, it's Corona, so I'm sitting on my porch, and he's sitting on his porch, even not Corona, whatever, it's just, and I'm making Kiddush on my porch, and the guy next to me is a few feet away, and he hears me making Kiddush, it can be Motzi me. Sure, he's Motzi me. He's making Kiddush, he's in one porch, and the fellow listening is in a different porch. He can wash and eat in that porch, because that's where he heard the Kiddush. He didn't have to make the Kiddush. Obviously, you have to have kavana for that to be effective. Like in general, whatever you have, shweka ori, you need kavanas shomea, vikavanas mashmia. Zayin. Yishori yishayin vikachi elo orader. Fascinating shita. The Gemara in Mesechus Pesachim, Kuf Aleph, speaks about that they were going to make Kiddush, and they said they should make kiddush where there's a nair. It's unclear in the Gemara. Is that like a practical thing that we're afraid that, you know, if you go home and there won't be any candles, you're not going to want to eat in the dark? It's not fun to eat in the dark. So is it just a practical thing, or is it a mamash halacha? You have to make kiddush where you light your candles. This is an issue sometimes in hotels because they don't often let you light mamish by where you're eating. They usually make you light in the hallway outside the cheder achal. That's b'chala shayla. We mentioned in the past, it's not where you're eating, not where you're sleeping. So is that really significant? The minhag olam is to assume that it's okay to light there. It's not so clear why. Maybe it's still covered. It shows the Shabbos is special. Okay. Maybe people hang out in the hallway, so like they hang out there, it's in the lobby, whatever. But there's a separate problem when you're making kiddush, you don't see the candles. So that's only in lichatchil. We pass it. If you look at the mechaber, yesh omrim she'ein kach elam v'ar ner, yesh omrim de'ein kiddush talu v'ner. If you like eating outside, even though the candle's inside, or if there's moving, you can't eat in the house. So the Mechaber Pasuk is that the Ikra that we don't need to require there. We usually try to have the there around. Meaning you usually have neros next to your table, on your table, shelf, whatever it is. It's not so kedai to have them on the table, because then you want to change the tablecloth. It's like a balagan. But most people have the candles either on a shelf, you know, near the dining room table, or in the kitchen, next to the dining room. And it's brought down that when you make the kiddush, like we spoke about this in the past, you should like look at the candles initially, and then you look at the cup. Peseder. Okay. Questions? Let's move on to Sifin Reish Ayin Dalet Din Mitzias Hapas V'Shabbos. We know that there's a chiyuv of eating three seudos on Shabbos. The Gemara of Shabbos of Kofi Zayin Reveis learns it from Sukkim Hayom, three meals. And the chiddush is, of course, that you'll have a second meal on Shabbos, even though it seems like they would eat generally only at night. So on Shabbos day, you'd have three meals. You have Shabbos morning, Shabbos afternoon, and Wednesday Shabbos. So that would be, today we eat three meals a day generally. But in those days, they wouldn't only eat two meals a day. So there's like a chiddush, a couple of Shabbos, you have three meals. So we have one Friday night, and then we have two on Shabbos, and then a fourth one, Wednesday Shabbos, the Malach HaMalach. This Seder. The Pashas is a Din D'Rabbanan, it's not a Din D'Raisa, it's just an Asmach. There is a day that there's a Chiyuv Min HaTorah to eat. Usually we assume that the only time there's a mitzvah to eat bread Min HaTorah is on the first night of Sukkot and Matzah on the first night of Pesach. But there is a day that really, every Shabbos there's a mitzvah to eat Min HaTorah. Either way, even if it's D'Rabbanan, we fulfill this mitzvah. And the Mechaber tells us that in addition to having the suda, there's a special halacha, you should have two breads, right? Lechem Mishne, commemorating the mon that fell, a double portion on Friday. Says the Mechaber, Vatzea al shteki karos shlemos, sha'oche shtein miyado, Vatzea tachtona. You should say the bracha on two complete loaves. You hold them, and you say the bracha, and you cut the bottom one. Says the Rama, "V'dakru l'al Shabbos, aval b'yom Shabbos o b'leil yom tov potzei al yona, v'atam al derech hakabala." The Rama suggests that even though the Mechaber says you should always cut the bottom one, that's only true on Friday night. But on Shabbos day, you should cut the top one. So in terms of a couple of details, in terms of cutting the challahs, the Gemara speaks about Rav Kahana. It's not a tray, but a chada. Seems like you cut one out of two. But the Gemara then speaks about Rav Zera that batza kula shirusa. So what that means, the Rashba assumes that he cut all the breads. I don't know if you've ever seen people cut both challahs. That's the practice of the Vilna Gaon, based on this Rashba, based on the Rav Zera, cutting all the breads. The idea is you want to have a lot of food for the Shabbos meal, so you cut all the breads. So there are people who are makbid on that. It's not the minhag olam. In fact, the Aruch HaShulchan seems to be upset about this. He said people started to be makbid on this. He thinks this is like, you shouldn't be doing this. You know, you cut one.
It's a waste of food, no?
Well, it depends. If you're going to eat it, it's not wasted. Usually these people have smaller rolls, meaning people who they're not going to cut two huge challahs.
I'm thinking the challahs we have nowadays, like the normal size loaves.
If you have, it's just you and your wife, you're going to cut two big rolls, loaves, it's a waste. But if you have a lot of guests, or you get rolls in that case, people cut, they get small rolls. Anyway, there's such a practice, like I said, those who follow the Vilna Gaon follow it, but it's generally not to be, it's not accepted practice. So what does it mean that he was Batsa Kula Shirusa? Seems like he cut a thick slice. That's how Rashi learns. You should cut a nice size slice. You shouldn't give out flimsy, you know, don't be cheap. You should be a covered Shabbos, give a nice piece. You should have that prusa for the entire meal. Okay.
So why the bottom Friday night? Then
oh, so what's pshat with that? So it says here in the Ramah Vatam al pi derech HaKabbalah. So I don't know exactly. Al derech HaNigle, so there is a... I can't tell you. I can't tell you why I can't tell you, but I can't tell you. And I really don't know. In any case, there is a halachic discussion here about ein mavir al mitzvahs. Like the first challah that you have in front of you, you should cut. So what do you mean you're going to cut the bottom one? It means you're going to be mavir on the top one. So there's the eights that brought down in the poskim that the bottom one should be closer to you. I have two. Say this is one challah and this is another. So the bottom one is closer to me. So it's true I'm going to the bottom one, but it's closer to me. So that's to avoid this question. Fashion is not a problem in the mitzvahs, because if you definitely want that one, it's not a question in the mitzvahs. It's only when you want to do both. Meaning you only want to cut one. So if you only want to cut one, you want definitely want to cut the bottom one. In any case, that this is what's brought down in the Ramah, that there's a difference between Friday night where you cut the bottom one and the other times you cut the top one.
I think I might have asked this before, but is it in the mitzvahs to
that's what I do. I cut all the challah. I don't think it's nice to start eating while everybody else is sitting there. I don't really like eating and cutting at the same time. So I cut all the challah, take the first slice, and I pass it on. Now, in terms of the passing, I think we spoke of this last time. You'll say they pass. I put it on a challah tray, so it's just... There's some people like start like as they cut, they're like passing the challahs out, and then the question becomes: are you allowed to pass it over to your grandfather or whatever, or should you eat it? Because like ein mavir in al mitzvahs, that type of discussion. So that's the question: is that really true? I mean, I have a hard time believing that it's an issue because you're doing it for derech eretz, meaning this piece was intended for your grandfather, meaning your father didn't give it to you; he gave it to his father. Meaning, so I don't know if that's just ein mavir. It's a real estate, so a question of hafzik, a limiting hafzik, but there are always factors, we can't always limit the hafzik. We don't have everybody wash at the same time, so we want to one person washes and he waits 2-3 minutes till everybody else washes, There are people who are makbid to wash last. Sometimes the balai is makbid to wash last, so the person saying the bracha should bless him hafzik. I'm not makbid. Usually I try to start washing to get the ball rolling.
If you would make a shahakal and a cup of water, and then for whatever reason you wouldn't be able to drink it for 2 or 3 minutes, would you make another bracha?
No, you wouldn't. If you didn't want a mafzik, if you weren't mafzik with dibur. Even if we're mafzik with dibur, it was a tzarech ha-achilo v'rimoter. Okay.
Is there a reason why some people rip the challah as opposed to cutting it?
Somebody told me Al-Pi Kabbalah is such Indian. I don't know. It's brought down here in terms of cutting, that there's idea of... it's brought down in Hilchos Brachos, actually, that the Magen Avraham brings down the Tzemer Bedaktik to cut before the bracha to Mamayit the Hefzik. Because you'd have to figure out where you're going to cut from. Again, it used to be that it wasn't so evenly baked. You want to get a good place to cut from or something. So you find it, start cutting it. So it's brought down Hilchos Brachos. But on Shabbos, you shouldn't cut too much. You want it to be shalim. If you cut it too much, it's already not shalim. So make a little cut. That's what I do. My father made a little cut. So I do also make a little cut. It doesn't, I don't look for it. If you look for where the cut was, you would find more of a hefzik, try to find it. But it's brought down. It's not necessary. It's a bit of people do it. There are sources for it. Again, in our reality, it's a little bit different. Mitzias.
I meant when it comes to after you make the bracha, and as opposed to cutting with a knife, literally calling it.
Right. So again, I'm not familiar with that, but I assume that the halachic discussion of cutting assumes you're going to cut the loaf with the knife, not just before. You're going to cut it also after. What's the point of cutting it before and then use your hands to rip it apart?
Right.
I don't know. I never saw anybody do that. And if there are people just rip it apart, so. Somebody told me there's a Kabbalistic Indian like that. I'm not familiar. I mean, I dafka know that there's an Indian not to pass from hand to hand, meaning the idea of passing
that
velos or aniyas, yeah, but mm-hmm. But although the Rebbe's Tish, that's what they do. So I don't know. I can't argue.
But Hasidim, they also, some Hasidim won't use a serrated knife.
They won't use a serrated knife because. Because it's like a mitzvah. Okay. It's hard. I guess it's probably hard to cut if the knife is not serrated. Maybe that's where the bit of ripping.
That's where you get ripping from.
Right. I'm not familiar. I've seen the special scissors they sell now to cut your tzitzis. You know, they don't want to cut it with metal, so they have ceramic scissors. Okay. Anyway, Lamaisa, it's brought down here that you have to have shlemos. This is a big issue. Halacha Lamaisa, what exactly does shalem mean? If you buy water challah here in Eretz Yisrael, so they're all cracked. Like everything is like, you know, so is that shalem? So Rishon Zalman said, if that's how they sell it, that's normal. It has to be a normal way to sell it. Even if you can see that their little piece of the crust fell off, that's considered still shalem. There are some people who are more makbin about that. It shouldn't be nikr la'ayin. It's kind of hard to be. If you have water challah, it's almost impossible, you know. But if you don't have shlemos, so there's a discussion, can you take two slices of bread? Would that be significant? They weren't baked that way, but they come in the package that way. So there's a big discussion. In fact, it's better to take two. In fact, there's the Kitzur Shacharach says, if you make Kiddush on Shabbos morning, you should take two rugelach. You know, sorry, that's not shlemos. That's a different question. That's a Lacha Mishnah question. Sorry, that's just a. I don't think it's a common practice, but that was about Lacha Mishnah. Sorry. In terms of shlemos, like I said, we're pretty makel in terms of what's considered shalem. Whatever is normal shalem, if it's nicker that the kid took a bite out of it, that's very not shalem. Sometimes the challahs, if you make homemade challahs, when we separate them, one piece like you know comes apart from the other piece. That's also normal. That's like you know it's normal that when the two challahs are no sheikh, they touch each other, so when you separate them, a little bit comes off from one to the other. That's considered shalim. Fine.
What about, I mean, at least the way, when we make challah in my apartment, we have like these metal trays that it's kind of hard to get the challah out.
Right.
So what we do is like we like put a knife in like next to the side of the tray to kind of like make it not stick to the side to pull it out.
Why don't you just put like baking paper on the side?
No, I should do that.
Yeah.
But is that would that be an issue making it not shallow?
Like I said, if it's like looks the way it's the way it's usually made, then it's hard to say it's not shallow. Meaning it's just like the water closet on the store. So they always have cracks, but that's just the way it is. And so I think that would still be considered shallow. And it doesn't look like somebody took a bite at it. It looks like when you separated it, a little bit came off. You know, I don't think it's be neurotic. About, I mean, again, I'm sure there are briskers who are, you know, but I don't know if that's like, you know, our avoda, you know, in terms of, it's be normal. Okay, they suddenly give a shear of 1/48, you know, a din of Hafrash Eschala, Chacham Si holds like that. Anything that's less than 1/48 wouldn't be considered. Mm-hmm. But I think even if it's less than 1/48, if it's nicker, it would be a problem. Meaning, I think that's how we use it. Okay. Fighter. Mitzvah Livtzov Shabbos Prusa Gedola Shatasbik Lola Chola Su'uda. So they mentioned before the day of Rashi that you should have a nice size slice of challah. It's just it's a mitzvah, it's not an obligation, but that's the, you know, ideally you should do that. Sometimes you know, a lot of people you can't give such, you know, you don't have so much challah. But if you have, you should give people a nice slice. L'chara, if a person likes thinner slices, he likes two thin slices. He doesn't want like a big slice. You know, my kids, they don't like big slices. So if that's what they like, so you give them what they like. You're not going to, you know, but if it, okay. Mishra, it's not considered aftanusa. It's not considered gluttony because you only do it on Shabbos. You're showing it's the kippah of a mitzvah. You're supposed to eat at least the kazais. That's what the Gemara says. But the Pahag brings down the cheers of kabeitza. Kabeitza is two kazaisim. Two or three is mechokas. But usually, anyway, a person eats a slice of challah, that's already a kibbutz. Ideally, you should eat a kibbutz. There are people who watch their weight and they don't want to eat carbs, so they should at least eat a kazayis for the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos, Onim Shabbos. If you're going to eat a kazayis, not a kabeitza, there's a shaila for the bracha on the antil sidaim. The antil sidaim is nitkan keneged tumas ochlin. And there is no tumas ochlin, that's the kabeitza. So the post can bring down, if you're going to eat less than a kabeitza of bread, you should wash without a bracha. Don't make a bracha on the white. You should wash, but without a bracha.
Yeah.
So that comes up. But like most people, again, I think that people can be careful about what they eat and still eat a kabeitza. Kabeitza is not so much. I don't think that it's right. You know, and then they'll have a little bit of dessert, a little of that. No, have some challah. Challah is a mitzvah. Okay. Fine. Obviously, if it's a health issue, it's something else. But fine.
Rabbi, why do we have even the idea of lechem mishnah on Shabbos day?
It's zecher to the man.
Right, but in my head, I'm thinking we already have one of the.
The question you're asking would be better for shalosh shudis, meaning a double portion fell instead of two loaves, four loaves fell. So Shabbos day, you had two loaves. Shalosh shudis, that's a question. Do you need an etakataka machlokas? We'll see it soon, but. Maybe another time. Well, there's a discussion about that. Rabbi Shalosh Shudis. But Shabbos day, you do need two loaves. So the Mechaber says in Gimel, Ein Mesuvim Shain Litom Ad Shiitom Abatzeya. So if somebody else is going to say the bracha of a motzi for you, you have to let him eat first. If everybody has lechem mishnah, sometimes in a yeshiva, so the Rosh Yeshiva says hamotzi out loud, but everybody has little rolls on their table. So if you have two rolls next to you, so you can eat even before you're yotzi with his bracha, but you have your own lechem mishnah. Your own lechem mishnah. This actually touches on, we discussed last time, the question of at the end of the previous which siman was it? The discussion of a person who is listening to Kiddush for others. You have to wait for the Mekadesh. look at Simon Reish Ayin Aleph Tazayim. Blagitamu ha-musubim kodim shidim Mekadesh if it's a kukim l'kosos, shofim l'kosos b'yadim. Meaning, if you're listening to Kiddush, can you drink before the Mekadesh? So it says here, how you look close to behind any problem, if you have your own cup, you're allowed to drink. So it's a parallel halacha here. What's interesting is that here it's explicit that you need lechem mishnah. It's not enough that you have bread in front of you, you need lechem mishnah. So there were some achronim who learned over here in Reish Ayin Aleph that you have to have a full cup in front of you. If you want a taste from the Kiddush wine, before the wine that's in front of you, before the Mekadesh, you can only do so if you have a full cup of wine in front of you. If you have a little tiny cup, you know, half a centimeter of wine, you shouldn't drink it until he drinks. So that actually, if you want to make the halachas parallel, it would be the same. Here is before, if you need like a mishnah in front of you, then over here in Reish Ayin Aleph, you'd need a full cup of wine. It's always good to wait for the person who made kiddush, to wait for the person who made a motzi. It's derech eretz. He made kiddush. He should eat first. He should drink first. Now, you might say it's not derech eretz. He's sitting at a different table, b'chal. You know, but I think it makes sense to wait. Here is beforeish that you need, unless you have lechem mishnah. If you have lechem mishnah, then you can eat before him. If you don't have lechem mishnah, you just have a single roll. You shouldn't bite into it until he eats from his lechem mishnah.
Can a woman say a motzi?
A woman? Yeah, everybody has to say a motzi. What do you mean?
Can she
motzi men? So this is an issue in the modern world where women are very involved in parnasa and they're even more. A central role, a more public role. So many women want to assert their independence. They think of themselves closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So if a woman wants to do a motzi, she can. Whether or not she should do that in front of other men, it might make them feel uncomfortable. You don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. So you have to chacham ein avarosho. I mean, this din of zila, we spoke in the past, a woman making kiddush. Is it zila milsa, to be yotze from a woman? I don't know if that halacha would be true for what would the Mishnah Berurah say? He says he's not into women making kiddush for men. So zila milsa. So would that be true also for a motzi? Maybe. Modern world, it's done. Meaning, I have a relative. So the man makes kiddush and the woman makes a motzi. So when I'm there, I smile or not, and I'm yotzei with the woman. I'm not going to make a stink out of it. It's halachically permissible, whether or not it's ideal, that's a question of society. If you live in a society where nobody does it, so certainly it's the wrong thing to do. If you're doing a society where everybody does it, then you're not going to do it, you're going to make a big stink. So that's also the wrong thing to do, I would think. So, okay. The Seder. Women having havdalah is really a halachic issue, because women might not be chayim in havdalah. A woman's chayiv in Kiddush is chayiv in Amotzi, so it's pashat, you know. So the question of Avdallah is connected to Kiddush, then it's two sides of the same coin, like the Rambam, or not. So it's a machlokes rishonim, and we assume a woman should try to make Avdallah. We would assume, again, if a woman's stuck, we would tell her to make an Ashkenazi woman make Avdallah. But to be choshish for the day that a woman's parted from Avdallah, I think, or chaschayim, so the you know, we would say it's better that a woman doesn't make Avdallah for a man. I think that's the standard psak, if I'm not mistaken.
So, and then the wife makes Avdallah.
So, if I was in that circumstance, I would have come out to be Yotze, and when I got home, I would make Avdallah myself. Right. Again, it's not clear that you're not Yotze, because according to the mainstream sheet, a woman's chayim in Avdallah, like right. I said. So, it's more of like a, you know, I wouldn't say enough for a chumrah, or post can recommend. They recommend not. Same thing with the Megillah, we're all coming up Purim, right? Can a woman read a Megillah for a man? So the mainstream Shita is that a woman's chayiv is like a man's chayiv, same level chayiv. There is a Bahag, okay, here's a more prominent posek, Bahag is one of the Gaonim, who says that women are only chayiv to hear the Megillah, not chayiv to read the Megillah. So a woman shouldn't be motzi a man. So if a woman was motzi a man, so then you might not be yotzi according to the Bahag. So here, at the deference of the Bahag, I think many of the poskim recommend. But if shatat chak, during the corona, so if your wife knows that I'm reading the Megillah, you don't. So of course you should listen to her, you know. Yeah.
It's kind of an off topic question, but is the Trump ma'akev reading Megillah?
Trump is not ma'akev, no. It's not
ma'akev.
Nice. People, whenever
Trump
you have to make up.
Megillah for someone,
I mean. Yeah, it's Trump is not ma'akev. What is ma'akev is to saying every word, which is also an issue because you have to read slowly. And my wife was once in a hospital. They're all tzaddikim walking around the hospitals. They read Megillah for people. But they know it by heart already, so they do it in like 25 minutes, 20 minutes. So my wife said she heard every single word, but she couldn't recognize most of the words because the guy said it so quickly. So she wanted to know if she was Yosef. She called me up from the emergency room when my son was there. So I said, maybe you should try to hear it again if you can. So the same thing happened. The second guy came around. So what are you going to do? You know? Okay. Fine. It's an interesting question. He said every word. You have to hear it to be Yotze. So she heard, but she couldn't make out the. You know, is it worse than Shar Lashonos? If you hear the Megillah, if you don't speak Hebrew, and you hear the Megillah in Hebrew, Yotze. That's halacha. So you speak Laz, and they're reading. So you also don't understand anything. It's all gibberish to you. So here she speaks Hebrew, so it's a little bit worse, because she speaks it and she didn't recognize it. So, like, how do you look at that? It's an interesting question.
I mean, we all have that experience a lot when like, you hear about Kore or someone who's like swallowing their words, like who's like mumbling together.
So that's a problem. It's a problem. Essentially, for the Megillah, if you're swallowing the words, you probably have to make it up. But the question is, what's the shir? What's the gavul? It's not, you know, if you miss it totally, it's one thing. But if you heard it, you just heard it. Okay, it's a hard question to ask. Fine. Moving on. You have to have bread for the Suda Shnia. So we mentioned before, for Kiddush Makom Suda, where Mekel, you can have Mizonos, right? You can have wine. If you're really stuck, you can have Peros. If it's Shatat Chak, there's a day you can have Peros. Certainly if it's, you know, Zayin Minim, it's more common, like date. But to be Yotze, the mitzvah of three Sudos, you have to have three Sudos of what? The first two have to be bread. Shalashir is a different story, but the first two have to have bread. You have to wash Friday night, and you have to wash Shabbos morning. Now, when I say Shabbos morning, that's also a question. Sometimes in the winter, Chatzos is like 11:30, depending where you live. But here in Israel, also in New York area, Chatzos could be 11:30. So it depends where in the time zone you live. But, you know. Anyway. So the question becomes, do you have to have your Suda Rishoni before 11:30? You daven 9 o'clock Minyan, and then you're even having 8:30 Minyan. You can have a Kiddush, you have a Shir, this, that. You only come home, you have guests coming, they only show up at, you know, 12 o'clock, 12:30, 1 o'clock. People eat, they study at 1:32. So that's already in the afternoon. So is there a mitzvah to have three Sudas, one at night, one in the morning, and one in the afternoon, or no? One at night and two by day. It doesn't make a difference what time it is. So that's the debate. The big goal is to make up with this, that you should be sure not to fast past Chatzos. So if you're going to daven in a late minyan, have a cup of water before. You shouldn't fast past Chatzos. But if you made Kiddush or you had water before davening, whatever, you don't have to sit down and have a meal of bread, a Tachamishna, before Chatzos. But there are those who are makpid to try to have the sudas pass before chatzos. It's particularly on the Rambam. They have a suda at night, a suda in the morning. The morning means before chatzos. So that's like a chumrah some have, but like I said, it's not the minhag ha'olam. Mishnah Berurah brings down that if a person didn't have a meal at night, let's say his wife had a baby, whatever, some emergency, so you should have three meals by day. You can do tashlumin, just like you can make kiddush by day. If you didn't make kiddush at night, maybe by day, you just have three meals by day. Okay, this Seder, questions, comments. Fighter Simon Ayin Reish Hey. We don't want to say it's a Reish Ayin Hey. It's not a bad Simon. It's Ayin Reish Hey. I once was giving a shiur. This is Simon deals with things you can't do the Oraner. You know, today it's not Sonogeya, the Oraner. I was giving a Devar Torah in the yeshiva on a Shabbaton, and the lights went out. All the lights went out. It was like frightening. But there were all these candles on the side because you know all the women from the kollel lit candles. So the topic of the Devar Torah was a making decision. We used to have themes in the kollel for like Shabbaton. Like so a theme, decision making. That was like the theme. People want to always figure out what they're going to do next year. Decision making. Like, hey, they spoke about decision making. So I was saying, you know, we're always making decisions. You go to the kollel, you have to decide. You're going to buy the ice cream. You're not going to buy ice cream. You're going to buy this. Even if we don't even think about it, we're always making decisions. So the lights went out. So I said, now I have to make a decision. Should I continue giving this drasha? You know, I wasn't able to see my notes because it was like pitch black where I was standing. Or should I go over to the candles? But I also made a decision a while ago when I was doing Hilchos Shabbos. I skipped Simon Reish Ayin Hey because I was like, who reads the Keneged Aneres? I don't remember. You need a shomer. You don't need a shomer. So, like, you know, anyway, I was talking about this and the lights went back on. So, fine. So, let's, like I said, the principles here are still relevant in terms of a chashash, iser, and a shomer, and that. The actual practical examples brought in the Shulchan Aruch are less relevant because the Mitzvah is just very different. Nobody is going to be mate to get the little more oil in the Ner. It's just in a different reality. So the Mechaber says, in Poland, the Shabbat is kinim, we have got him. Talking about the Kodesh Palesi, you can't like pull out knits from your garment. In Korin, the Sefer, the Orner, you can't read, can't learn by a candle. What's wrong? What's the concern? The concern is the candle won't give us a good light, and you're going to, so it's a gas lamp or like an oil lamp, you're going to push the oil towards the wick to give it more oomph, and you'll be able to get a better, shall have it, better, brighter. I feel in a motzi b'fiv, shema yata. So even if you're not learning out loud, shema yata. I feel who gavo asar komo, sheni yachal dikavo, even if the candle is high. This is a very important principle. Gezeres of Chazal were often made with a low plug. So even though I'm not going to be able to be matte because it's too high, it's 5 feet up, I'm not going to reach it. No, lo chilku. We tam say yeshlesa afilu hu ba'ashoshis. Even if the candle is behind glass, o kavua v'chor shemekosel v'chei ner shel shava. And even a ner shel shava. Ner shel shava is of course a big chiddush because a ner shel shava you don't usually have to be matte, meaning by oil, you can like bring the oil closer to the wick. You can like tilt it. But by a wax candle, there's nothing to tilt, right? Most, it's funny because our wax candles, what they call the Nero Niyot, like the Shabbos candles, they usually like melt. And then it's actually very similar to oil in that you theoretically could, you know, move the kli to get more wax to the, because it liquefies, right? It liquefies. Once upon a time, wax candles, like the Hanukkah wax candles, you just sit there and they just light. You know what I'm saying? So that's less of an issue because there is no mitzvah of Shema Yata. The Mechaber seems to say even that would be azer. Now, Lemaisa, the Mishnah Berurah goes down, the minhag was to make white wax because the wax, there was no chashash. Even though from the Mechaber, it doesn't sound like that. But the Mishnah Berurah said the minhag was to make it. Like I said, our wax candles are probably more similar to the oil because our wax candles usually like they have glass cups and the wax melts into it and it liquefies. In any case, there is a discussion halacha l'maisa. What about a person who has a dimmer? Can you read next to a dimmer? Are you concerned that you're going to turn up the light because you're going to want to make it stronger? So the possibility is mutter. The concern here is Shema Yata. There's going to be a problem with the The dimmer, you want it on this, you want it on number two. You don't want a number three. So you put a number two, shine. Here, the concern is that it's not going to be giving the proper light. You're going to try to fix it. So that's why the mice were made killed by a dimmer. You can read it's a dimmer. And Shlomo Zalman was made killed. Again, this machlokes is a poskin. I think I brought down the Chaznish thought everything is a problem, even not a dimmer. I can't read. This, I have electric lights here. There's a switch on the wall. It's to cover the switch. Because we're worried, you know, Shemaya, apparently that's what they bring to the Chaznish. I don't know if cover is going to even help. I don't know exactly. I don't know. We obviously don't pass in that way. Fine. Weiter. Base. V'davka echad. The Isser is for one person to learn. If two people are learning from the same sefer, they're going to remind each other. This is a very important principle of reminding, right? It comes up in many areas of halacha. You want to eat before you daven marav, so you need a reminder. So you ask somebody to remind you to daven marav, or in our day and age, you set your alarm on your clock, on your watch, or on your phone to for marav, and then you'll remember to go daven marav. You can eat a big meal. You don't have to be worried. She'im ba echad lahatos perish hatos haner kadei sheyegia. Hashem, the psilo yeskina chaveru. Who should call him in echad? Shas yeshiach echad v'mashiyasa chaveru. Aval b'shein einyan imlo. It's not. If I'm reading my book and you're reading your book, I'm not going to remind you. It's only for reading from the same inyan. V'yesh omrim v'shtei svarim afilu v'inyan echad aser. Chin aser lomar piyutim v'lo yomtiv shachalias v'shabbos v'ezek nezes v'chein noagu. So it's interesting. People often know the tefillos by heart, the regular davenings, but you don't know the special piyutim by heart. So it's brought down here in the Ramah. You shouldn't say piyutim. Because you need to ayin, and you have to ayin l'or haner, and I'm reading from my sitter, and you're reading from your sitter, so I might come to the imata. So today we don't say piyutim, not for this reason, but it seems like the minhag to avoid piyutim was here's halach reason. We have other reasons we don't say piyutim generally, except for Yom Kippur and the like. Okay, and actually halach, we'll see there's a special din of Yom Kippur that emes Yom Kippur, person's not going to be matin Yom Kippur, person Yom Kippur has more Yerushamayim, thinking about. The Isser, you won't be next on this. Fine. It's actually interesting. The Mishabur is machmir in shul with a wax candle, even though he's making it at home with a wax candle. It's an interesting distinction. Okay. Gimel, the Chaber says, Im yesh acher ima afilo ina korev omer lo tein daitcha alai shlo eta mutar v'hu adin im omer ken l'ishto. So if you tell somebody, watch me, so then it's mutar. So when I was giving that to our Torah, in Friday night when the lights went out and it moved over to the candles, what I should have done was to say, please remind me not to be mate, and that would be the proper thing to do, especially because, like I said, the wax candles today isn't really wax. You can't rely on the Mishabura that it's wax, because our wax is more like oil, because it all melts. This Seder Dalid Adam Choshuv She'en Darko B'chol Ahadus Mutu B'chol Gavna. Apparently, doing this is getting your hands dirty, so there's some people who wouldn't do it. If you're a gentleman, you're not going to have somebody else do it for you. So if you're that type of person who never is mate, so then it should be mutter even on Shabbos, because you're not going to do it.
These things common where it's like a different halakhic standard for different people?
It's not so
we're
common.
Learning
but
we're learning something like this today that we said that. What was that halakhic?
Yeah. You have it on
the. No, then Adam Chashav could eat in one plate.
Oh, right.
Right. You have here and there, you have halakhas like that. I mean, you have on the Pesach Seder and Isha Chashuva for Haseba. It comes up here and there. But here it's a very practical concern. Is there a concern of Shabbat? If you're the type of person who is wearing white gloves, you're never going to be mate. It's not Nogaya. You know, that's the reality. I don't know if we have that today. The whole Matthias we don't have today. I should mention, I mentioned before about different types of dimmers. It's also a question if you have a heater. You know, most heaters have electric heater. You have like high, low, and medium. So you have to be concerned. There's where we're making. The gazero is on light for reading, not on heat. You're allowed to, if you're concerned, you're gonna actually do it, then put a piece of tape on the button. But if you're not concerned, there's no need to cover the buttons. Okay. Vav, sorry, hey. For Medura, I feel a sarka echad in Korean. If you have a fire, a bonfire, you should the whole of Yoshua Rachok is a reserve, which is Navasa Udim, Smuki, Zabakir, Kishabah, Havir, Lahavir, Chatos. So having two people is only when the person's next to you. But if I'm sitting on one side of the bonfire and you're the other side, you're not going to necessarily remind me. And likewise, sitting on a bonfire is a problem in terms of you might come to Hov Yashu Zinavas Udim Smuchim Lehem. Again, this is like the question of the, like I said before, it's a more, it seems like it's a more practical concern with the fire. It wouldn't apply to a heater and the like. Okay. Vav. Tidogosh al-Beis Rabban, Korin, Lora, Ner. Kids go to school, go to cheder, even on Shabbos, they can read. V'zeisha Ibis Rabban Alein. Halafai, we lived in a time where the kids had a certain fear of the Rebbe. They're not going to start, they're sitting there steigig. They're not going to start fidgeting with the lamps. Okay, it's a different tzias. Weiter Mutter Likros Bemem Adlikin or Aner Shari Humaskir Isser Shabbos Ve'ech Yishka. Bemem Adlikin is all about Isser, you know, what you're allowed to light with, what you're not allowed to light with. So it's like a reminder, build in a reminder, and you're not going to come to Yimata while you're reading Bemem Adlikin. That would be very ironic and also very sad, but you're not going to do it because it's a built in reminder. Okay. The Be'er Halacha brings that if you write a petek on the ner, like Shabbos, you know, some type of reminder, that would be a heter. So this is an important principle when it comes to heker, is that you can have a heker. Again, this is a question you're obviously, the Gzeir Drabanan, it's not brought down in the Gemara that you can write a little petek, you know, Shabbos. But it's brought down in the Be'er Halacha that you're allowed to rely on this. You shouldn't forget it Shabbos. So that's the question, how to apply this to. Where do we apply these gzeira across the board? Oh, but there's a heter. When do you say yes heter, when do you say no heter? It's not always so clear. Chaznish was against this Mishnah Berurah. He thought that it doesn't work. So that's an interesting question. It's an interesting question. Okay, what about if it's not your ner? You're a guest. So I'm not going to fidget with you. I'm just a guest. You know, it's other... Or it's not even in my rishus. Let's say it's in his window. You know, I'm reading. He's in his window. He has light. I'm reading it down below the window. I'm not going to climb up. And you know, it's climbing up. We say that's a gezeira, even if it's high. But it's his lamp. I'm not going to go and start fidgeting with his lamp. So do you say that lo plug or not? Interesting discussions. Ches nohagin likros biyom kippur v'achzorim lo yom kippur. You use the achzorim station. Emes yom kippur aleihem. So yom kippur is different. So just like. It's about the Indian. Yom Kippur has a sort of chalos, and when Yom Kippur, you're not gonna be niksha. Leil Pesach shkagis b'Shabbos. If Leil Pesach is on Friday night, mutar likros. If on a regular Leil Pesach, it's not a problem. Matan, you have to feel lot to be matan, but on Shabbos you can't. So Leil Pesach shkagis b'Shabbos. Leil Pesach is on Friday night. The Seder is on Friday night. Mutar likros agadim b'Seder mishum dehavi ke'ein Rashi prakim ke'ein ba'aretz shlo tiyef shkur b'fiv k'tzas. Wow. Halavai, we lived at a time when everybody knew the Pesach Seder, basically, you know, almost by heart, or quasi by heart. Today, there people don't know anything. So you can tell them not to, unfortunately. It's our responsibility trying to educate other people. But we don't have a. Lemaisa, if a person doesn't know the Agada, he has an Orner, you can tell him not to read the Agada. So the Lemaisa can say, no, we're not going to tell him to mbatel the mitzvah of Zecher, Yisipos, Yisus Raim. Just because of this gzera, which is fascinating, because there's a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah that says if you have a shofar on a tree, you can't climb a tree, what do? You don't blow a shofar. We don't find an Isidra Rabbanah to do a mitzvah in a Torah. And especially here, by Sefer Yisraim, whenever you say your Yotze, you don't need the Haggadah to be Yotze Sefer Yisraim. You can Yotze by telling a story. So I'm a little bit surprised, but the Mishnah Berurah writes that if he's not Aretz Gomer and there's nobody to remind him, so you can still make a. We don't want to mivatel Sefer Yisraim. Right, but it's a big chiddush. It's a big chiddush what the Mishnah says. I don't know how that fits with the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Okay. In any case, it doesn't happen too often. Levaisa Baruch Hashem. Yud Harav Yochel Liros Beor Haner Behechan Yikra Tinogos Asadi Rashi Parshias. If the Rav wants to Asadi Rashi Parshias, that's all. It doesn't cry your ear. I was thinking of the case I spoke of before when I was giving it to Vartara. I knew what I was going to say. I just had a couple of lines, Rashi Prakim, to remind me, like some notes. So it could be there would be heter there without having somebody remind me not to be mata, because I wasn't like reading the text. I was just gonna just drop my memory. I had like one or two lines here or there. So it could be that we call this heter. That the korah kol shana parsha al peh. Rashi parsha is lavdafka el kol shadeh parsha al peh. Vixas sarek liras b'sefer shari. Nachash enu me'ayin b'sefer tamid is la'akir of la'asil tuye. The issue is when you're like being me'ayin and learning from a sefer. If you're just using it as a reference, so then you're not going to be so concerned with how much light there is. Whatever light there is enough, because essentially Chazal weren't kosher that it was going to go out. They're only concerned that it's going to be half light, just not so much light in Shemiyat. Okay. The reason Chazal and Chora weren't concerned it was going to go out is because we know that you're not supposed to use the shamanim that are problematic. That's the Mishnayos and Matlikin. So you only use shamanim that anyway are very good to light with. In any case, the Mechaber continues, almost done. Yud Aleph. Kalim Hadolim Zel Zeh Tzarech Iyun Hafkim Yenem Asur Levatkan Or Aner Afilu Hafkim Bin Big Vadul Big Vishta Yudogim Asur Levzok. So if you have very similar garments and you want to look ma'ayin, what's the difference? You know, if two talasim, the Shabbos talas, the week talas, you only have a small difference, so then you shouldn't do Or Aner, because that's something that requires Iyun. Even though you're not reading, you're just checking a Kalim, but if something that requires Iyun, so then we're concerned Shemiyata. Fine. And the Mechaber says in Yud Beis, Shamash Eino Kavua Asur Lifdak Kosis Karis L'Or Aner. If you have a waiter who's not familiar with the Kalim, he's going to start to make sure everything is matching. He's not going to know where the matching silverware is. Fesh Eino Bakira Beit B'der Shev Zayis Beit B'der Shaldeft Fesh B'd Zefet Lava Sh'or Rav. So the Shamash, who's not familiar, is again the same issue of being Ma'ayin. Whenever you have to Ma'ayin, where it goes there? If you're familiar with the sakum, so then you don't have to be ayin. It's mutter livdok laor der akosos. If ibhaya der shel shevet zayis, ain't worried lo livdok afal pishu mutter. Because there's a separate issue with shevet zayis, and shevet zayis tastes good. You might want a little olive oil for your salad. So here's a separate example. It's not that you're shevet yata. We're concerned maybe you're going to take some of the oil out. So that's like a halacha of ain't worried. It's mutter, but we don't want to tell him. The Ravah says that if you're changing a child, the Shabbos candles are there, you should somehow block the child. If you're going to make him naked, it's better to block the child from the Nera Shabbos for the mitzvah. Fine. Questions? Okay, so let's stop here.